Hi. My name's Macy, and Pastor John asked me to come up and tell my testimony. When he asked me, we were on a one-hour flight from Mombasa to Nairobi, and ever since, I have felt very nauseous. So bear with me. Thank you. So bear with me. Well, I was born into a very Christian home where we were poured into regularly, not only by my parents, but also by other members of our family. And when I was 2 years old, my biological dad passed away. And after that, that led to a lot of moving around. And if you've moved around a lot, you know that's not, it's not super stable. There's not a lot of stability. And so my entire life, I have not really felt that stability. We've moved about 11 times to the point where I was like 17. So lots of new beginnings and stuff like that. And without that stability, I also didn't have a dad. So not having that fatherly Christian figure in my life was very hard, because a lot of my friends had that. But my mom wound up remarrying, and we got my little brother Joshua from that. And I have three brothers. Little tidbit. We were living in Texas at the time, and we moved to California. And while we were in California, I was about 7 years old. And the best way I know how to put this without making it too out there is I was taken advantage of by an older boy that lived down the street. And that kind of set the tone for me, if like mentally. And later down the line, I was getting bullied a lot, and I didn't really know how to handle that. I was going to church, being that good Christian daughter, and putting on that mask, going to church, serving, but I didn't know what I was doing, really. I was just kind of following everybody else's lead. I'm getting lost. And that eventually led to me getting depression and led to a suicide attempt. And I was still leaning on myself. And like, I can bring myself out of this, I've got this. But as time went on, I started getting anxiety. And then we lost my stepdad in 2019. To a heart attack, same way my biological dad, and that sent me for a spiral. I developed horrible anxiety to the point one night I was paralyzed from the waist down because of an anxiety attack. And we wound up moving again, went through a little more hardships, and wasn't able to go to school. Literally, I went to school 2 weeks entire out of a semester because of my anxiety. And when we moved here, I was still dealing with anxiety. I was dealing with an eating disorder, and also dealing with grief and trying to figure out what I was supposed to be doing with my life. I accepted Christ in 2020 with my mom's help. And I was like, yo, I need to be baptized. So I was baptized in 2022. And ever since, I've been trying to figure out kind of like what God has for my life. And I went to college. I go to Baptist Bible College, now known as Missions University. And I started out as a big business major, and I hated that. Not my cup of tea. So I switched, and now I am an intercultural studies major, and I am studying to be a missionary. And I don't really know how, in what way God wants me to be involved in missions, but this trip to Kenya, before we went, we had a meeting and I was praying for clarity. And let me tell you, God provided. And I don't think I'm going to be a forever missionary to Kenya because I am very much that type of person. Like, moving a lot makes me want to go to a lot of different places and that kind of stuff. But, sorry, I'm getting sidetracked. But God opened my eyes to my love for the Kenyan people. And while I was there, I met a little boy. And he was a little albino boy. And if you want to see a picture, I will gladly show you a picture of him. He is so precious. And he was part of the reason why my eyes were opened to the Kenyan people. Just how sweet he was and how much he was like words, Macy. very shy at first and didn't know quite what to do because he was treated so horribly because they didn't know what was up with him. But anyways, time goes on and he's still on my mind and I'm like, I don't know what I should do. And then I was talking to one of my friends, Maddie. Hey, she probably hates me right now. And she was interning there over the summer. And I had talked to David and Kim Hayes about that. And I have decided that I'm going to be interning in Kenya next summer for a month. And I am so excited. But thank you. But this trip has really just provided a lot of clarity and has grown my love for missions. And if you can go on a missions trip, please go on a missions trip. And just let God work in your life because he wants to. And if you're open to it, he'll do it in amazing ways, better than you could ever hope for. That's what he did for me. Thanks.
I think the first mission trip I can remember going on was about 32 years ago, and I've been on a lot of good mission trips, but I can say that I've never been with a finer group of people than we did on this trip to Kenya. And Macy, it was a joy to serve with you. You know, sometimes God allows us to step outside of the bubble that we live in, that bubble of our daily lives, and he pulls back the curtain and allows us a glimpse of the everyday life of people in another part of the world and another culture. This last couple of weeks that we spent in Kenya was just such one of those opportunities. And I have to tell you, Pastor John and Steve, they certainly got their money's worth out of me because they worked me like a rented mule. The first Sunday we were there in Kenya, I had the opportunity to preach to a very large assembly. And I spoke about the hope that is in us, as Peter wrote about in the third chapter of his first letter. The following Saturday, we went farther south down the coast, south of Nairobi, and we drove way out into what they call the bush country, where I had the privilege of speaking to a group of pastors and their wives at a pastor's conference. And I spoke on the topic of Islam and sharing the gospel with Muslims because these pastors were serving in a largely Muslim territory. Now later, I had the honor of baptizing some kids who had given their life to Jesus as their Savior. Now, I can't say that I have that spiritual gift of tolerating being inconvenienced. Just ask my wife. And what I saw in the typical Kenyan lifestyle was inconvenience on steroids. One of the schools that we served at, we went to several schools there. One of these schools, many students that go to that school, they take a very long and rugged path from their village to this school. And one day a group of us took that path back out into the village, and it was hot, it was rugged. As a matter of fact, Macy had a little bit of an accident where she fell and injured herself, but it was just a very rugged and tough path to take. These kids take it every day, in the morning to school, in the evening back to their home in the village. Now, when we went out into the village, we went out to meet some of the families of some of these kids that went to school there. And we went into their homes, and their homes, typical home, is a mud house with a thatch roof. No electricity, dirt floor. Very primitive existence. Later on, we traveled to a distant village to help build a mud house for a widow who had lost her home. Then at night, we were back at the school in their chapel having a worship celebration. And I was standing at the back of the, and it's an open air, it has a roof, but it's open air, so you can see what's going on around the campus there. I was standing back at the back of it, and I think Pastor John was back there with me, and I heard a motorcycle coming into the campus through the darkness, and it pulled up to the medical clinic, which was the next building over. I saw two people get off the motorcycle, but then I saw an elderly man struggling to get off. So I left the chapel, I ran across and grabbed the man's hand and helped him off of the motorcycle. And I could see he was in a lot of pain. But he held my hand, he looked me in the eye, and he thanked me profusely. So I took his hand, I walked him into the medical clinic and handed him over to the doctor. Later, I found out this man was 103 years old, and he came to get a shot that would help him with his pain. And I tried to imagine the decision of the family to put a 103-year-old man on a motorcycle in pain, drive him through these rugged roads, drive him from who knows what village, all that distance, to get help. Not real convenient. Considering all these things I had witnessed, I wondered, how in the world do these Kenyans tolerate so much inconvenience? But you know, they have a word in Swahili for all the events of that day. It's Alhamisi. Roughly translated, it means, it's a Thursday. It's just another day for them. Now, one of the other privileges I had while in Kenya was to play with the worship team on several occasions. And we had occasions where we played just as the Hallmark worship team with some help. But in several other occasions, we partnered with some of the groups, some of the local groups, the kids and some of the adults for worship services. And I got to stop and give a shout out to Stefan, who made Hallmark proud as our worship leader. You did a phenomenal job. Now, one of the greatest joys I had through my roughly 2 weeks in Kenya was to hear and to see all of the kids singing and praising God at the top of their lungs. Their joy was genuine, and I realized that the reason they praise and worship God is because they understand something that I preached about that first Sunday. That hope that is within us. They understood exactly what Peter meant when he wrote to us about the hope that is within us. So now that I'm back in the bubble, got to go back to work on Monday. I hope I do a whole lot less complaining. I know my wife would appreciate that. And I want to be more aware of the reality of the hope that is within me. And I challenge you to consider that hope that you have, and understand there are people out there who need that hope. Yeah, we just had the opportunity to share with a lot of people in Kenya, but hey, we've got a lot of folks right around our church here, right around our jobs, right around our homes, who need to know about that hope. And I appreciate y'all letting us go.
Well, as I said, my name's Shelley. If you don't know me, my husband Steve is a director with Manna Worldwide to Africa, and he's still in Africa, so I would ask that you pray for him. He will be there till the end of July, but I had to come back and watch grandkids for camp, so I came back. But as directors, we travel a lot to Africa, and this was one of the most unique trips for me for many reasons, but one, because I got to go with my home church, and that was so much fun. For those of you that supported and sent people, you sent an amazing team. Their heart, their spirit, they served wherever, and they were just so easy to work with and to get along with. But then we also got to work in Mombasa North Coast, where the majority of our MANA centers are in Africa, and see many different things, which was cool. But I also got to go to South Coast and see Kim and David Hayes. I had not seen Real for Christ, and so that was also a blessing for me to be able to do both of those things. But then it was a blessing because we got to focus on music, and I love music, and they love music. If you saw those videos, I mean, they dance all the time. We actually have video. Not only did Pastor John come unglued and sing, my husband got dance lessons from a kid. It was something. But we've got video proof of that. But they love to worship. They love to praise. And so us getting to worship with them was such a blessing and such an encouragement to me. But one of the things I loved was we did get to serve at a pastor and pastor's wife conference. And I got to teach. But they were singing. And they were singing a song in Swahili. And I recognized the words. And I recognized the tune. And so we started singing in English. And I was like, right there's just a little bit of heaven of all of us just praising God together in our language and praising him. And I also just want to say thank you, Hallmark, because as we were on North Coast, two of the churches we were at, your name is on that the wall where the nutrition center is, because you were the church that gave to get that started, and you give faithfully. And then Real for Christ with Kim and David, you've sent them, you supply needs for them. And so I just thought for a moment, the rewards that you're going to have in heaven for your radical generosity is going to blow your mind, that we get to lay at Jesus' feet because you give generously and because you love missions and you're furthering the kingdom. And we were able to worship. We got to have a worship concert. 1,300 people showed up. Greg gave a very clear gospel presentation. We got to teach in the classrooms and share Jesus. We got to see kids getting baptized, and it was all such an incredible thing. But the part that got me most, I'm not going to cry, one of the songs we sang, and we're going to sing in a little while, is called The Blessing. And the song says, may his favor be upon you for 1,000 generations, and your children and their children and their children. And I love that song. But as we were in North Coast, we were singing with the worship team. And on that stage with me were three students who have came in through the MANA Nutrition Center as 4, 5, and 6-year-olds. They've graduated high school. They've graduated university. They were the first in their class, in their family, to graduate high school and university. They were the first to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. And because of MANA, they've went on and they've told their families. The one young man, his family serves at the church and in the school. And just to see God's favor to generations and generations. But then on South Coast, we were singing this song. And on the day that we were singing this, a little boy that we had met, his name was Innocent, and Kim and David said, he's not. But he came back. He's not from Maasai Corner. He comes to the school, but not to church. He's Muslim. He came in his Muslim dress, and his sisters came with him, never having been in church, but he wanted to sing with our worship team. And as we're singing that song, I was like, God, that's what we want. We want your favor on this nation. And it reminded me of a verse of scripture in Psalm 67. And it says, may God be gracious to us and bless us. Make his face shine upon us. These were the children of Israel saying, shine upon us. And we want that prayer. God, show your favor to us. But the next verse says, that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. And as we were singing that song, and I thought of this verse, yes, God, we want your favor to show on us so that we can spread your saving power to all the nations. And I had the privilege in that moment to be singing by my husband with all these little kids. And there's another generation. My daughter is leading worship, and she's teaching these kids. And I was there when my daughter accepted Christ. I saw God's favor on her and how she shares God's love. And then I look across, and playing guitar is Garrett Scott. He was from our church in Illinois. I was there before Garrett accepted Christ, and I've seen God's favor on Garrett's life and how God is using he and Maddie, and they're sharing the love of God with young adults. And then I look over, and there's Pastor John. And if you don't know, Pastor John was in our youth department. I know, it makes me really old. However, he is closer to my age than my youngest sister is. So I tell everybody he's the brother I never wanted. I also found out that the word for brother in Swahili is kaka, which thrilled my heart to call him that. But in that moment, I look at Pastor John, and I was there. I remember Steve and I praying for Pastor John as a teenager, that he would know you before he graduated high school. And I was there when he prayed and he accepted Christ. And I've seen God's favor on him and the way he leads this church and his heart that loves people and loves missionaries. And he's raised children that love and serve God. And I want that to be our prayer. God, yes, show our favor, but show it so that we can proclaim your name, so that we can tell of your saving power, and we can watch your favor upon their children and their children and their children for generations. So thank you, Hallmark, for what you do. Thank you for the way you love missions, you love missionaries. And I pray that if you've not had the chance to go on a trip, that maybe next time you'll go with us.
God is good.
All the time.
And all the time. I would just reiterate what has already been said is we had a great team who just served the Lord faithfully, and oftentimes on trips, things do not go as planned. And so always from meeting number one, when I meet with a team or prospective team, I say, the word you need to memorize for this trip is flexibility, right? Or as Greg mentioned, being inconvenienced. And I just want to say thank you to the team. They served well. They represented the Lord well. And they represented Hallmark well also. I've shared this a few times, but it's fresh in my heart again when every Sunday I get up here and I say, God is good. And all the time, that I was taught that in 2009 in Kenya. And I am always reminded that it's not just something I say, it's something that we should live, it's something we should believe. The reality is that as we, even this trip, got to enter into some of the homes, as Greg already mentioned, and dirt floors and no running water and no electricity, we walked into one room to give them a gift bag, and we had to turn, our host that was leading us in turned his flashlight on his phone because we couldn't see the hand in front of our face. It was so dark and hot, and yet the people were so welcoming, and they had put around their living room chairs for us to sit. And these chairs in their living room, I promise, are not as nice as the furniture you have on your back porch. And yet they are so welcoming, and they would be the ones that would walk into church. And even in Kenya, I'll stand up to speak, And I will say, God is good. They will yell back all the time. And then I'll say all the time, and they say, God is good. And then they say, and that's his nature. Wow. God is great. And it reminds me, as the last few weeks we've been in Psalms chapter 11, 12, and 13. And I do want to say thank you to Pastor Nathan and Richie Gomez. Didn't they do a great job preaching the Bible? Appreciate them. I don't have time this morning to walk through all of those, but what we have to see, there's a pattern in Psalm 11, 12, and 13. The pattern is this, that the circumstances that King David is facing are overwhelming. Sometimes in the scripture, we know what the circumstances are. Sometimes we don't. And I think sometimes it's better that we don't know, because I believe that probably everybody in the room, at some point in your life, possibly even today, your circumstances have you feeling a little overwhelmed. Do you identify with that? You shake your head? And in every instance in Psalm 11, 12, and 13, there's a statement, a declaration, I will trust in the Lord. We don't see resolution in those three chapters. It's not like all of a sudden the circumstances that are overwhelming to David have been fixed. But in the face of circumstances that are difficult, that are overwhelming, that he doesn't understand, that he has maybe doubt or fear or anger or loneliness or feeling abandoned, all these emotions that come with the psalm, David declares, I will trust in the Lord. And David declares and trusts in the character of God. You see, we have to get our eyes off of our circumstances and a situation and our own emotions and our own feelings and say, what do I believe to be true about God? So as I yell out in Kenya, God is good all the time, God is good, and they would add to that, and that is his nature. It's unchanging. It's forever. And then they would add, wow. Have you been wowed by God? Have you been wowed by God? And let's get our eyes off of the circumstances. And again, for me, it's to get to go back. This was my 10th trip to Kenya. Thank you, Hallmark, for allowing me to go and represent you. But to go back, and it just kind of centers me. Because I'm just like you, trust me. Maybe worse. I'm the brother you never wanted, right? And ease in is so easy for my focus to shift on what my problems or issues or doubt or fear or anger and to focus on my circumstances, not on the character and the nature and the goodness of God. Now, I've got so many pictures I want to show you today, but we don't have time to do that. But I will invite you back Wednesday night at 6:30. In FC 104, I've got tons of pictures and the stories that go with them. Shelley mentioned that Hallmark, my first trip to Kenya was 2009. And I met some of these kids when they were real little. And I've watched them grow up. I've watched their story as they entered into a manna feeding center and get fed, go home and tell their parents, I met Jesus. And then the parents come to church, and one of those, the son, Ashley, is like the tech director for the church. And now his father, who didn't know Jesus until little Ashley showed up at church, learned about Jesus, got fed, and went home and said, Mom and Dad, you gotta know about Jesus. Now his dad is finishing seminary, gonna be a pastor. That's generational change. Hallmark, listen, when I was younger, it used to scare me, or it used to intimidate me to encourage you to give to missions or to give to the Lord. But I've seen the results. I've seen what happens when we make, and again, I hate to use the word sacrifice. If you've been in a third world country, you know the truth is we don't sacrifice. In fact, I do want to show you one picture just came to my head, this picture of Samuel. We got to go hut to hut and give gift bags full of groceries. Like it was rice and beans and lentils and maize flour. And there was this one package of cookies for their family. And, And this is one of the huts, and this is Samuel. It's kind of hard to see, but he's the young man standing there in a blue shirt, and his grandmother Maria is there. His parents weren't there, and this was the only home that didn't invite us in, and I think it was because mom and dad weren't home. So grandma's there, and our translator Vincent's standing there with us, one of the teachers at the school. And so we had this great conversation through him. This other high school girl walks up on the scene, and you can see just off in this village, there's a high school, and you can see kids getting out of school. So we're assuming this Samuel's oldest sister has just walked out of high school and come here, but she doesn't have a uniform on. So I don't know how the conversation went, but Vincent says she can't go back to school because she doesn't have enough money to buy the socks for the uniform to go to school. I said, say what? She doesn't have enough money to get the socks for the uniform to go to school, so she can't go back to school until they come up with the money to get socks. This is why I use the word very lightly, sacrifice. I've never been that desperate. And I ask him, well, how much are the socks? 100 shillings, 75 cents. You ever been so desperate to get 75 cents so your kid could go to school? Your desperation for 75 cents is scrounging around in your cup holder so you can get the ice cream at Brahms, right? And I was like, I have no money. Garrett, do you have 100 shillings? He puts his backpack down and he grabs 200 shillings and he hands it to him. So Hallmark, those of you who have faithfully given your tithe, some of you give to missions beyond your tithe, that money is seeing another generation in another place. This is just one of the places your money goes. Your money goes all over the world. Kids like Samuel learn how to find and follow Jesus because of your radical generosity. I'll skip to the last picture, Preston. There's a lot more, but come back Wednesday night, 6:30, all right? Shelley just mentioned this. I was standing in the back of the chapel. This is at Maasai Corner. And they were singing the song we just sang, Praise. And some of these boys in the back are eighth graders. I've got pictures on my phone playing soccer with them when they were in fifth grade. I've got pictures on my phone with some of the fifth graders who were in preschool playing with them. And most of these kids have given their life to Christ. Isn't that amazing? And all I say is, look, I'm not going to be ashamed or intimidated to say, if you're not giving to the work of the Lord, you are missing out. You are missing out. And we're singing praise, and I just sat in the back of the chapel and just worshiped with them. Then a few moments after that, we sang the song, The Blessing, as Shelley just mentioned. And I just wept like a baby. Because I've seen that happen in this place. I've seen that happen in this place. That a generation would see the favor of God rest upon them. And the Lord allowed us the opportunity to speak to this group right after we sang. There were about 25 or 30 of those kids that day that prayed to give their life to Jesus that day. Praise the Lord. Numbers chapter 6. As God speaks to Moses, it'll be on the screen for us, but as God speaks to Moses, he tells Moses, tell the people this. And the Lord spoke to Moses, verse 22, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the way you should bless the children of Israel. Say to them, here's the words of the song straight out of the scripture. And as we sang this, our team and these kids and just watching the and understanding the generational change that's taking place. Verse 24, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And I just sat there listening, worshiping, and thanking the Lord that he allows me to be a part of what he's doing right here in this community. Listen, one of the core values, you heard Shelley mention radical generosity. You guys have proven that over and over and over again. Yesterday, about 30 of you showed up in the heat and you served food to our community who are in need. A couple of weeks ago, you guys gave crazy amounts of money for a dessert. You know, $800 for pudding. Why do you do that? So the next generation will see the favor of God and the blessing of God in their life. And tomorrow, about 1 o'clock, there's going to be about 100 people that get on a bus and they're going to go to youth camp. And some of those kids, because you bought a dessert, are going to see the favor of God shine upon them. That's radical generosity. Aren't you glad you get to be a part of what God is doing? Praise the Lord. So I want to invite this morning, if you are a student or a parent of a student that's going to camp, would you just come down and gather together? I want to pray a prayer of blessing over you right now. If you are a parent in here and you're still praying that God would shine his face upon your child, your kid may not be going to camp. It's okay. Come down here. I just want you to come, and I want you to gather. I want you to circle as a family. Maybe you're a grandparent in here, and you're still praying that your child or your grandchild or your great-grandchild would see the favor of God shine upon them. Maybe you've been faithful to give to missions all these years. Maybe you're a young couple, and you're praying that one day you'll have a child, and they'll find the favor of God. Now, I just want you to circle up in your group. Just circle up with your family or whoever you came with. And I want you to take a moment to pray. Pray over. If you're just a couple students together, pray together. Mom and dad, pray over your kids. Just circle up. As they're still praying, if you're in the sanctuary, would you just stand? If you would commit yourself to pray for this group, just stand, and I'm going to pray for all of us as they're still around the altar. God is going to change someone's life this week at camp, isn't he? Let's pray that God would protect them, that God would provide for them, that God would shine his face upon them, that the favor of God, the blessing of God, the Holy Spirit would be so powerful. That those who go, whether they're from our church or another church, if they don't know Jesus this week, the blessing of God would be upon them. God, we thank you for the blessing and the privilege it is that the gospel came to us. Lord, as Greg has mentioned, Lord, it's not just that we go and we share in Kenya, Lord, but we have a responsibility and an opportunity to share in our neighborhoods, in our workplace, and in our school, with our family. But Lord, tomorrow there's students, leaders, they're gonna get on a bus, they're gonna go to camp. Lord, as a 17-year-old kid, you spoke to me at camp, and I surrendered my life to Jesus, and Lord, you changed everything. Lord, I pray that over these students. Lord, if there's someone that doesn't know Jesus, that your spirit would speak into them and bring them to life. Lord, they would respond to the hope that you want to place in them. Lord, for those like Macy that are just praying, Lord, what's my next step? What's my next step of faith? Lord, that you would give them a calling and a clarity, and they would just surrender. They would say, yes, Lord, that your face would shine upon them. Lord, we are reminded this morning to pray for our missionaries. Lord, specifically, we're reminded of David and Kim and Mitch and Beth and Steve and Shelley that are serving you faithfully in Kenya. But Lord, we have missionaries all over the world. Pray that you would bless them. You would multiply their ministry. You would see fruit from the labor. Thank you, Lord, for your grace, your blessing upon us. It's in the powerful and the precious name of Jesus that we pray. We're going to invite you to sing with us this song of blessing. We're going to have the kids' choir from Africa that's going to join us by video here. And I pray that you would just, we're just trying to get you a glimpse of what we got to experience as another generation in Kenya, Africa, see the favor of God shine upon them.